Okay, this week's parasha is Parashas Vayakel. We'll share some divrei Torah, some insights in the parasha. Pasuk begins Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the entire congregation of the Jewish people. Vayomer aleihem, and he told them, Eila advarim, these are the words asher tziva Hashem lasis oisam. These are the words that Hashem commanded that you should fulfill. And then he goes on to discuss the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, sheish yisemim ta'asim alacha. So there's an issa of doing work on Shabbos, and then it goes back to the discussion of the construction of the Mishkan in Pasuk Dalet. Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the entire congregation. This is what Hashem commanded you to do. You should take a donation, kol nediv libo yivyes, trumas Hashem, sov, kesef, and chayshis, etc., etc. So I saw in the Sefer M.S. Liakov from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, Zatzal on Chumash, he has a very interesting insight over here, which I saw also was elaborated on, similar idea, in the Sefer Or Gedalyo from Gedalia Shur, former Rosh Yeshiva of Torah V'das. So he says the following. It says in the Pasuk, Vayakel Moshe, this week's parasha begins, Vayakel Moshe es kol hadas b'nei Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the entire congregation of the Jewish people, and he instructed them all the things that Hashem had told them to tell b'nei Yisrael, the mitzvah of keeping Shabbos, the mitzvah of building the Mishkan, and that building the Mishkan does not override Shabbos. Rashi points out in the first Rashi in the parasha, when did this take place, this gathering? So Rashi says, L'mochras Yom HaKippurim. This took place the day after Yom Kippur, after Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai with the Luchos Shnios. So then Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people and he instructed them concerning the building of the Mishkan. He gave them the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. So Yaakov Kamenetsky and Rabbi Gedalia Shur, they both explain that the pasuk here says, "Vayakel Moshe," so Moshe gathered the people, and this is really a tikkun for the Chet HaEgel. That by the Chet HaEgel, back in last week's parasha, it says in Perek Lamed Beis, pasuk Aleph, "Vayara Om Kiboshesh Moshe Loredes Minar." The nation saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was delayed in coming down from the mountain. Their calculation was off. Vayikoel ha'om al Aaron, and the nation gathered around Aaron. They came and they surrounded Aaron. They gathered. And vayomru elov, they told him, Kuma seilonu Elohim. Make for us a God. Asher yelchu lifaneinu, that will lead us. Because Kizem Moshe Ish Asher Elon Meretz Mitzrayim Lo Yodana Bayoyoloi, we don't know what happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. So you see that the Torah uses the language by the Chet HaEgel of Vayikoel Ha'om Al Aaron. The nation gathered around Aaron and they demanded Kuma Seilonu Elohim Asher Yelchu Lefaneinu, make for us a God that will lead us. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, who is our leader, we don't know what happened to him. He's missing. He was supposed to come back. He never came back. So make for us a replacement. And Rashi there says in that pasuk, on the pasuk, Asheyelchu lifaneinu. Rashi's medayik, the language of the pasuk in Parshas Kisisa. Why does it say Asheyelchu lifaneinu, that they will go in front of us? In the plural, they said, Kuma seilonu elohim, make for us an elohim, a God. It should have said Asher Yelech Lefaneinu. So Rashi quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Samech Gimel Elohus Harbe Ivu Lohem, that they desired many gods. Therefore, they use the language Asher Yelech Lefaneinu. They desired many different gods. Says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky that if you look in the Yerushalmi in Sanhedrin, in Perek Chelek, the Yerushalmi says that they actually made by the Egel 12 different golden calves. Not one golden calf, 12 golden calves. Each shevet had their own golden calf. Each shevet had their own golden calf. That's what Rashi and the Gemara is referring to, that Elohus harbe evilahem. They desired many gods. So he explains that, what's the idea behind this? He says, apparently, when they came to do the Chet HaEgel, they had dispute among themselves. They were so divided among themselves, they couldn't even unite around one Avodah Zarah. They couldn't unite around one ego. Each shevet had to make its own ego. Elihus harbe iveloem. And therefore, he says, so the tikkun for the Chet HaEgel was that in this week's parasha of Ayakel Moshe, Esa'om, Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people, Kol Adas B'nei Yisrael, gathered everybody, the men, the women, the children, and he instructed them the mitzvah of building the Mishkan. Says of Yaakov Kamenetsky, the pshat is that the root of the Chet HaEgel, at the root of the Chet HaEgel, was a lack of achdus. That was the root of the Chet HaEgel. It came about because of a lack of achdus, a lack of unity. They couldn't even unite around one egel. Each shevet had their own egel. So the tikkun, the way to fix the Chet HaEgel, was that Moshe Rabbeinu gathered them and created a situation of achdus, that they had unity with one another for the purpose of building a Mishkan. They were united in this purpose that we're going to build a Mishkan, we're going to build an abode for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for the Shekhinah to reside in. And we can add to this idea what we said last week. We said over last week that Chaim Shmulevitz and Sichas Musar points out that what was the idea of the Machtsa Shekel? That the Machtsa Shekel was used to build the foundation of the Mishkan, right? There were three donations made to the Mishkan, two of the Machtsa Shekel. One was for the Adonim, the other one was for the Karbanis Tzibur. And then the third donation was each person, whatever his heart desired to donate, that was what they brought for the Mishkan. So we said last week that Reb Chaim Shlevitz explains that the idea of the Machtsa Shekel is that you have to create the koach of a klal, of having this achdus, that we're one entity of one unit, of klal Yisrael as one entity. It's not just a collection of many individuals, a klal. A klal is its own entity of the tzibur as a whole, of a unit of klal Yisrael. It's of all the Jews who lived then, and Jews who lived in the past, and Jews who will live in the future. It's its own mitzias of the klal Yisrael. So says Reb Chaim Shmulevitz that the idea is, the only way you can make a place for Ashras HaShchinah is if you have Achdus, if you have that unity. And that's what's represented by the Machtsa Shekel, is the idea of Achdus. And that was what was necessary in order to create the Mishkan. This is what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky and Gedalia Shur, they both explain, that that's the idea of this week's parasha of Ayakel Moshe Esa'om. Moshe Rabbeinu gathered the people and he commanded them the mitzvah of the Mishkan. Why do you have to gather them? Not just time to let them know what they're going to do, what they're obligated to do, but in order to create a Mishkan, you have to have a mitzias of achdus, of everyone that is united together with this one purpose. And Rabbi Gedalia Shur, he elaborates, he says that really, like we pointed out from Chazal, the Chet HaEgel wasn't just the Chet of Avodah Zarah, but there was a Chet, that in the Chet HaEgel there was a lack of achdus. Every shevet had made its own egel. So he explains that really the root of all sin comes from a lack of achdus. Because when a person recognizes the unity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the achdus of Hashem, Hashem is one, so then that prevents a person from doing any Aveira. But the idea of an Aveira comes about because a person is separated. There's a lack of the achdus in his perspective. Lack of achdus, not just between him and his fellow man, but there's a lack of achdus in recognizing the achdus, the oneness of creation, that everything goes back to its source, to the creator of the universe, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings the pasuk. The pasuk says, I think it's in Mishlei, L'taiva yivakesh nifrod, that for taiva, for desire, a person who is separated, who is alone, seeks and pursues desire. L'taivo yivake ishnifrod. He explains, what's the idea? The idea is that when a person is involved in pursuing his own taivas, his own desires, his own physical desires, so he's separated. He's not really together with others as one, and he's not one with Hashem. He's separated. There's a lack of achdus. Because if a person had real achdus, let's say even on just the simple level of achdus between fellow Jews, so he wouldn't just think about himself that I have a taiva to do this, it's going to be so enjoyable for me. Because what are the repercussions of doing this aveira in terms of my friend? When I do an aveira, when a person does an aveira, Klal Yisrael, the Jewish people are like guf echad, the Sfarim teach us. They're like one person. So the person, let's say, you know, he has a taiva to eat a good steak. So he's going to think, if he doesn't think about what the repercussions, how is that going to affect, you know, his arteries, how is that going to affect another part of his body? He's not, if he would be in touch with his body, right, he'd be in touch with his whole self, so he would realize, well, just because this is something that's enjoyable for my stomach, for my palate, it's not necessarily the right thing to do, because it's not going to be beneficial for my entire body. It's going to make me feel, you know, sick, going to have clogged arteries. So similarly, the Sfarim say, if a person has that sense of achdus, of Klal Yisrael, so before he would do an aveira, he would think about, okay, I want to do this aveira, I think it's kishmak, I think I'm going to get pleasure from it, but it's going to be damaging to my arm, to my fellow man, my fellow yid, who's like my other arm. How could I do it? How could I cut off my left hand from my right hand? So the Sfarim explain that really when a person does a chet, there's a certain aspect in the chet of a lack of achdus. Because if you had true achdus, then a person wouldn't do a chet, he wouldn't do chatayim. Because even if he thinks it's beneficial for himself, and he's going to get a pleasure, he's going to get pleasure out of it, but it's damaging to his fellow man who is mamish part of him. It's guf echad. So says Gedalia Shur, that's the idea over here also by the Chet HaEgel. The Chet HaEgel represented that there was a certain pirut, there was separation, division in Klal Yisrael. And that's what came about that led to the Chet HaEgel. Each person wanted to serve God their way. They had 12 different calves. They wanted to serve God their way. They were so divided. And the tikkun for that is through creating achdus, which is why Moshe Rabbeinu, he gathers the people and he instructs them about the building of the Mishkan. And then he explains that really also this is the root idea that we find in the Megillah, that Haman said to Achashverosh, he said, Yeshnoi amechad mefuzar mefoirot bein ha'amim. What was the argument of Haman? That Klal Yisrael should be destroyed? So the Pasuk says, because there's one nation that is separated among all the nations. Mefuzar, the scattered, and mefoirot. They're separated. They have different religion, different practices. So the Sfarim explained that what was Haman's taina? Haman was saying that Klal Yisrael is in a state that we can control them because they do chatoyim, like we saw. They came to the mishta of Achashverosh. The Gemara says that was one of the reasons why they deserve to be punished. They deserve to be destroyed because they participated in the Mishnah of Achashverosh. So the idea is that came about, that chet came about again because they had a certain lack of achdus. When there's a lack of achdus, then Haman has a shlita, he has a power to control this. And why? That's why Purim is dafka a day of, on the contrary, creating achdus through Matanis Lev Yoinim, Mishloach Manis. This is what the Sfarim explained, it's quoted as well in the Sefer Or Gedalyo in this week's parasha. That's one vart that I wanted to share with you guys. A few psukim later, if you turn to Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chof Aleph, so after the Torah lists all the different items that they should make in the different kalim of the Mishkan, says in Pasuk Chof Aleph, "Vayovoyu kolisha shenasoi liboy." says each person came whose heart had been elevated. The cholasher nodva ruchay oisayin, anyone who volunteered, heviu as trumas Hashem, they brought the donation for Hashem, lemeleches ayol mayet, for the work of building the Mishkan, ulechol avoydasay, and all the other jobs that they needed to do, all the kelim, ulebigdei hakodesh, and as well for the holy garments, the bigdei kahuna. So the pasuk says, who were the people that came forward to build the Mishkan and donate for the Mishkan? It says, "Vayovayu kolish." Every man came, and every individual came. Asher nesoy liboy, whose heart was elevated, whose heart was inspired, whose heart was raised. V'chol asher nodva rucha yoisoy, and any individual whose heart volunteered. So the Ramban, right here, you have the pasuk. You can look at it inside. But the Ramban is bothered by, there seems to be a redundancy in the language of the pasuk. What's the redundancy in the language of the pasuk? Perek lamed hey pasuk chafalef. What's the double language that seems to be redundant and superfluous in this pasuk? What do you say, Natan?
The
take a look at the pasuk. What do you think is redundant? Excellent! It says, every individual came, Asher Nesoy Liboy, whose heart was raised, was inspired, so to speak. And then it says, V'chol Asher Nodva Rucha Oso, and everyone who volunteered. What's the difference between the Soy Liboy and Nodva Rucha Oso? They seem to be the same idea. People volunteered, they were inspired, they decided to come and volunteer and bring stuff for the Mishkan. Why is it repeated in the pasuk? So the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh says, in the commentary of the Aruch Chaim, he says that there's two different madregas when a person donates something. There's a situation that a person makes a donation, which he makes this donation according to his means. He has certain abilities, he has certain amount of wealth, and he gives according to his wealth. That, says the Aruch Chaim, is what is referred to by Nodva Rucha Yoisoy. That a person was generous, he volunteered to donate to the Mishkan, but he donated only up to what he was capable, up to what he was, what he felt comfortable with. Then there's a higher madrega, says the Aruch Chaim, of Nesoy Liboy. Nesoy Liboy means his heart was elevated, that he was so inspired to give to the Mishkan that he gave even beyond his abilities. He gave more than really he could afford to give. That's Nesoy Liboy. His heart was so inspired and elevated by the idea of participating in building the Mishkan that he gave even beyond what he could afford. That's how the Aruch Chaim explains. However, there's a very famous comment here of the Ramban in Chumash. If you have it there, Jeremy and your Makros Kedos, look on inside. The Ramban in Chumash says, in Pasuk Chaf Aleph, he writes, "Vayavoyu kolish asher nesoy liboy." Every individual came whose heart was elevated, says the Ramban, "Alachachamim ha'osim b'melacha yomar came." That phrase, nesoy libo, is referring to the people that actually did the work of building the different components of the Mishkan. Whether it was the structure of the Mishkan itself or the structure of the different vessels, the different utensils that were used. He says the other expression, that's referring to the people that donated items to the Mishkan. People that brought things to the Mishkan, that those are called people that their heart volunteered to make a donation. Nodva Rucha Oso, the pasuk says, "Hey viu es trumas Hashem." The people who are Nodva Rucha, whose hearts decided to donate, to volunteer, to make a donation, they brought the donations for the work of the Mishkan. But the first part of the pasuk says, "The Ramban, Vayavoyu kol ish asher neso libo." Every individual whose heart was inspired came. What is that referring to? It means those are the workers who did the actual work of building the different vessels in different parts of the Mishkan. Who were those workers? The Torah describes them as people who were inspired to do the job. Explains the Ramban. V'tam asher neso libo l'karva l'amalocha. Why does the Torah tell us that the people who went ahead to do the work of building the Mishkan, these were people whose heart was elevated, whose heart was inspired to go ahead and do the work? Says the Ramban, ki lo hoya bohem shalom ares amalocho so'elem imalameit. Because the Jewish people in the desert didn't have any individuals there who went to study these crafts from a teacher, omisha imein bohem yod of klal, or that they had any practice, any training in these different crafts of artists, of artistry, of artwork. They weren't artisans. Avol motza b'tivoy sheyodo lasois came. But rather they discovered that it was in their nature. It was part of their very nature that they had the knowledge to go ahead and do these things. Vayigba liboy b'darke Hashem. And these people were people whose heart was inspired to do the path, to follow the path of Hashem, to do God's work. Lavoi lefnei Moshe, they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to him, Ani ese kechol asher adoni doiver. Whatever you tell us to do, we're ready to do it. And he says, Mikvar hiskarti zeh b'seder ha'acher. And I already discussed this earlier. Ramban earlier, back in Parashat Kisisa, he's medayik on the pasuk that it says, Re'ei, nosati, what was it? Perek Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Beis. It says, Re'ei karasi, Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Re'ei, look, karasi b'shem Betzalel ben Uri ben Chur ben Lamati Yehuda. I called upon Betzalel, the son of Uri, the son of Chur, and I filled him with knowledge and wisdom and understanding to do all these different jobs, all these different crafts, to work with gold and silver and copper, with wood, with stone, to know how to weave, etc. So says the Ramban back there, why does the Torah say, Re'ei, look, I called upon Betzalel? So the Ramban says, because it's a pella. It's an amazing, astonishing wonder that you could find an individual who was an expert in all of these crafts without any training whatsoever. He had no training, Betzalel. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, look, it's a nes. It's like a miracle. Look at this unbelievable wonder that this individual, Betzalel, that I have designated that he's going to build the Mishkan and he's going to be able to make beautiful works of art for the Shulchan, for the menorah, for all the different vessels without any training. He can work with gold, with silver, with copper, all the different materials and do very fine, precise artwork. So says the Ramban, it wasn't just Betzalel in this week's parasha, the Ramban says. There were many individuals who worked on the Mishkan, and they were able to create these precise vessels, precise works of art. How? Without any training? Because he says they were inspired. They were inspired to do it. The Torah tells us, Hashem is so libo, they were inspired. Their heart was elevated to be involved in doing something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayigba liboy, their heart was raised. Bedarke Hashem. So they came to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, whatever you tell us to do, we're ready to do it. And they went and they threw themselves into this job, and then they discovered that they had this latent ability inside themselves all along. It was untapped. It was unrealized. They didn't even know it was there. But the Ramban says, the fact that they went ahead and they were inspired, and they threw themselves into this task, they got a siyata d'shmaya, to discover that they had this talent inside themselves all along. That's the language of the Ramban. Matza b'tivoy. They discovered in their nature, sheyado lasois kein, that they knew how to do these things. There was a latent talent that was hidden within them that they were able to bring out to the fore. How come? Because they were inspired to do the job. And since they were inspired to do the job, they came forward to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said, we're here, we're ready to do the job. And they started working at it. And lo and behold, they discovered that they had this talent within them all along. Unbelievable talent. That's what the Ramban says, is why the Pasuk tells us two expressions. There was Nesai Liboy, people who were inspired to work on the Mishkan, and then there was Nadva Ruchai, people who volunteered to bring donations to the Mishkan. That's what the Ramban says here in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chafal, a very famous Ramban. So Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, Mirror Mashgiach, in his Sefer Das Torah on Chumash, he elaborates a little bit more on this Ramban, and he says the following. He says, we see from the Ramban the following fundamental concept about what it takes for a person to be successful in life, not just in matters of ruchnius, but really in all areas of life. He says, a person has to be inspired to take the initiative, to take an initiative, to go ahead and try to do it, have drive to succeed, and take initiative. Take initiative to take action. He says, if a person is a person who has no drive, has no initiative, he has no desire to achieve, he doesn't have a drive to achieve, so that's a sign that he's a midget. It's a sign that he's not an Adam Gadol. He's not a real mature, great person. A great person, the sign of a great person, says the Ramban, Rabbi Rucham Levavitz, is a person who takes initiative, who demonstrates that he has drive, that he has aspirations, that he wants to achieve. He's trying to go higher and higher. And when you have that inspiration and that drive, and you take the initiative, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you a tremendous degree of success beyond what you think is your abilities. You discover talents that you didn't realize you had within yourself all along. So he brings the Gemara as a riot to this. He quotes a famous statement in Chazal, quoted by the Tanu Dabei Eliyahu. Says in Tanu Dabei Eliyahu, Chayiv Adam Loimar, Masa Yagiu Maisai Lemaisai Avram Yitzchak V'Yakov. Person is obligated, Chazal tell us, to say to himself and to ask himself, when will my actions reach those of my forefathers, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Says of Yeruchim, what's the pshat? How can we expect of ourselves to reach the levels of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? We could reach that madrega, the madrega of Avram Avinu in Chesed, or the madrega of Yitzchak in his Gvura, madrega of Yaakov Avinu. How's it possible for us to expect that of ourselves? Says Rabbi Ruchin, yet what did Chazal tell us? He doesn't say, Tov lo la'adam. It's good for a person to say to himself, when will my actions reach the actions of my forefathers? It says in the Chazal, Chayiv Adam Loimar. A person is obligated, he has a chiyuv to say to himself, when will my actions reach those of my forefathers, of my ancestors, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? Why, says Rabbi Ruchim? Because if a person has that perspective, that drive, that aspiration to try to reach the heavens, to try to reach as high as he can, then he'll be able to actualize his talents that he has within him. All his kochos, all his talents that he has within himself. But if a person doesn't try to maximize, to do the utmost of what he possibly can, then inevitably there will be talents that he has which will be undeveloped and will go to waste, which he will not discover. Person has to always try to strive higher and higher to achieve more and more in Avodas Hashem. Chayiv Adam Loimar, Masai Yagihu Maisai L'Maisai Avodasai. And Rabbi Ruchim adds to this, he brings an interesting medrash that the Pasuk says back in Parashat Shmos by the Sneh, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Vav. So the Pasuk says, when Hashem appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu at the Sneh, in the fiery bush. So the Pasuk says that Moshe Rabbeinu went to see what's going on. How come this bush is not getting consumed? And the Pasuk says that Hashem called out to him from the snare. Vayomer Moshe, Moshe, Vayomer Hineni. Hashem says, take your shoes off, because where you're standing is a holy place. Pasuk Vav says, Vayomer Anoichi Lekei Avicha. Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu at the snare, I am the God of your father, the God of Avram, the God of Yitzchak, the God of Yaakov. And the pasuk says, Vayaster Moshe Panav. Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face. Ki yore mehabit el Elokim. He was afraid to look at the snare, to look at God, so to speak. So the Medrash there in Parashat Shmos says the following. It says there, Moshe Rabbeinu hid his face. Says the Medrash, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchav, Rabbi Ishiya, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karchav, Rabbi Ishiya discussed this. Echem mehem oimer lo yafa osa Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu, what he did was improper to hide his face. Because if he had not hid his face, then Hashem would have revealed to him, says the Medrash, Malamala, Malamata, he would reveal to him all the secrets of the heavens and earth, what will be in the future, all the past. And later on, says the Medrash, when Moshe Rabbeinu, in last week's parasha, asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hareini noch voidecha, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, show me your honor, or show me your traits, show me your attributes. Hashem says back, he says, where is that? That's in Perek Lamed Gimel. Pasuk Yudalit says, Pana Yelechu Vahani Chosilach. You will only see, actually, where is it? No, it says, Ani Abi Tuvi Kol, it's called Tuvi Aponecha. Pasuk Chaf, Ayoymer Loi Sucha Lirois Panai. Hashem says, you'll not be able to see my face. No one can see me and live. Right? Then he puts him into the like a cave or between the rocks. Says he see and he saw Vasiroisias Kapai Vroisias Achoira Uponai Loyero. Pasuk of Gil. You'll see, so to speak, from behind. You won't see me face to face. So says the Medrash that this was a punishment for Moshe Rabbeinu. Because Moshe Rabbeinu initially hid his face. So Hashem says to Moshe Rabbeinu, I came to show myself to you at the snare. You hid from me. Now, I'm going to tell you that Panai lo yirou, you can't see my face. Ki lo yirani adam b'chai. Says the Medrash in conclusion, why? Kesheb bikashti, because when I asked you to come to the snare, and I was ready for you to see me, so to speak, face to face, and I was going to show you everything, Loi bikashto, you didn't ask for it. Says Rabbi Rochel Levavitz, the taina on Moshe Rabbeinu, it says in the Medrash is, kishabikashti loi bikashto. When I was ready to offer it to you, you didn't ask for it. You didn't want it. You didn't ask that, let me see your face. Now later you're asking, it's too late. Says Rabbi Rochel, the idea here is again the same idea, that a person has to always have that aspiration, that drive, and take the initiative to seize every opportunity that he can for Kedusha, to reach higher and higher madregos, higher levels. And then he'll find in himself abilities that he never knew he had. But if he doesn't try, then it's going to be too late. He's not going to utilize those kochos, and he won't reach those levels, and he will end up remaining on a low madrega, remain a midget, says Rabbi Rochel. I saw in the Sefer from Rabbi Baruch Finkel that Rabbi Baruch adds to this idea from the Rabbi Rochel and the Ramban a very interesting point. There's a very famous Tosfos in Ksubis Daf Samach Gimel. Tosfos in Ksubis discusses the famous story with Rabbi Akiva and his father-in-law Kalba Savua. Right, so we know that Rabbi Akiva's wife, Rachel, was the daughter of a very, very wealthy man, Kalba Savua. Gemara says he was so rich that even a person left his, who was hungry as a dog, would come to his house, he would leave his house full. That's why he was called Kalba Savua, a very, very wealthy man. And what happened? His daughter desired to marry Akiva, who was a shepherd, who only started learning when he was 40 years old, so his father disowned her. So if you marry this Am HaAretz, you're not going to get any of my inheritance. You'll be dirt poor. Fine. So she did it because she wanted to marry Kiva. She believed in him. And then the Gemara tells us, right, that Rabbi Kiva went out to learn. 12 years in the Beis Medrash. Came back. His wife said, I'd be happy if you went for another 12 years. So he turned around right away. He didn't even knock on the door. Went back for another 12 years. He came back after 24 years with 24,000 Talmidim. 24,000 students. And he was giving shiurim, and his father-in-law saw that his son-in-law became like the god of Ladar. So he regretted his vow that he made, that he had disowned his daughter, and he went to the Chachamim to go ahead and see if he could be Matir Neder. So the Chachamim said to him that had you known he would be a god Ladar, would you have made the vow? So he said, no, certainly not. So that's how they were Matir the Neder. So Tosis there asked the question, how could they be Matir the Neder that way? We have a concept when it comes to being Matir Nedarim that ain't poischin benoilot. You can't make a heter for a neder about something that's an unexpected future development that happens in the future that was unexpected. And say, had you known this unexpected thing would happen, would you have made the vow? If the person says, no, I wouldn't have, it doesn't matter. The vow is still binding because it's an unexpected development. Ain't poischin benoilot. So Tosfos there asks a famous question. How is it possible for the Chachamim to be Matir the Neder to Kalba Savua that he could now give money to his daughter and son-in-law and support them, because had he known that Akiva would become Rabbi Akiva, he never would have disowned him. But ain't Paiskin Benoilot. You can't make a Heter for a Neder based on a future unexpected thing to happen. That's not a proper way to be Matir the Neder, Tosfos asks. So Tosfos answers, this is not called unexpected. This is not Noilot. Why, says Tosfos? Rabbi David, in fact, I think, mentioned this Tosfos the first night when we had the banquet, the welcoming banquet to Yeshiva. Rabbi David mentioned the Tosfos, very famous Tosfos. Tosfos says the following phrase. He says, the derechu, daf samach gimel, in Ksubis, the derechu behoilech lilmoid, because Tosfos says, it is usual for a person who goes off to learn in yeshiva, shenase odom gadol, that he becomes a great person. So therefore, had Kalba Savua known that Akiva the shepherd is going to go learn in yeshiva, it's not unexpected that he would turn into Rebbe Akiva, that he would become an odom gadol. Why? Because the derechu behoilech lilmoid, it is usual for a person who goes off to learn, Shenase Odom Godo, that he becomes a great person. So it's not something that's unexpected. Had he known that this would happen, that he's going to go learn in yeshiva, then, okay, of course, he'll become an Odom Godo. Asks Rav Elia Baruch Finkel Zatzal from the Mir, he says, Tosfos says here, an amazing statement, that it's usual for a person who goes to learn in yeshiva, Scott, that he'll become a great person, he'll become an Odom Godo. So why is it that a lot of people go to learn a yeshiva and we don't have so many gedolim? We don't have so many great gedolim in comparison to the number of people that go learning yeshiva. How do we explain this? Tosfos says it's usual for a person to go learn a yeshiva. This is the derech. He'll become an Adam Gadol. So how come we don't have so many great people? Says Rabbi Elia Baruch Finkel, based on Rabbi Rucham Levavitz and the Ramban in this week's parasha, perhaps we can answer that the reason is because people don't believe in themselves. They don't have enough belief in themselves and their ability. They're not taking enough initiative to become an Adam Gadol, to become great. If a person would actually believe in himself, that he has the talent, that he has the ability, and he would give it his all, he would give it a full effort, then, enichanami, he'd become an Adam Gadol. Derechu ba'olech li'yeshiva shenasa Adam Gadol. But the chisaron is that people don't believe in themselves. They don't think they have these abilities to become an Adam Gadol. So they don't even try. because they don't think they have the ability. But that's the mistake. The mistake is that we have hidden abilities that we may not even be aware of. And they will only be brought out to the fore if we take the initiative and we try and we give it our all. Like the people that went ahead and were inspired to build the Mishkan. It was Nesoi Liboy. Their hearts were inspired to try their best to build the Mishkan, even though they had no prior training. And this was very complicated tasks to build the Aron, or to build the Shulchan, or the Menorah, or the different Kalim. Yet they had that initiative that they went ahead and said, I'm going to try my best, I can do it. This is something for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want to do it. I want to reach higher Madragas. That's what Rabbi Baruch Finkel says. Perhaps we can explain based on this Rabbi Ruchim and the Ramban in this week's parasha. Pasuk says in Perek Lamed Hey, Pasuk Chav Zayin, famous Pasuk, we mentioned it once before, at the very end, after it lists all the different things that people brought for the Mishkan, so it says in Pasuk Chav Zayin, V'hanesiim heviu esavnei ashoyam ve'esavnei amiluim, that the Nesiim brought the special stones, the Shoam stones, and the stones that were placed on the breastplate. So Rashi says, why is it, Rashi quotes the Medrash, Medrash asks, why is it that when it came to the building of the Mishkan, the Nesiim donated last, but when it came to inaugurating the Mishkan with Karbanos, the Chanukah Samizbeach, they brought the Karbanos first. So says Rashi, the Nesiim said, first let the Tzibur bring whatever they want for the Mishkan, and whatever's missing, we will fill in. Since the Tzibur brought everything, as it says, there was enough. Ba'malacha ha'isa dayam. They brought whatever they needed. They had enough material. So, Amun Nesiim ma'aleinu lasois. What was left for us to do? So they brought the Avnei Ashoyam. And therefore, when it came to the Chanukah Samizbeach, they brought first in order not to be left for last. Because when they were left for last, there was nothing left for them to bring. And then Rashi says, well, Efishin is atzlu mitchila, since they were initially lazy, nechzera ois mishma. So there's a letter missing from the name, and the word here, vahanesiim, in this pasuk, is written without a yud. It's written vahanesiim without a yud. To reflect on the fact that there was a certain mistake over here, that they waited for the very end to bring the donations for the Mishkan. And Rashi says, quoting the Medrash, Nis'atzlu mitchila, they were lazy initially. So says Rabbi Yerucham Levavitz, on this Rashi, the following idea, that L'chora, it's a pella. The Nesiim, Rashi says, based on the Medrash, had a good calculation. They had a good svara. They were being very generous. They were letting other people do the job first. They said, let all of Klal Yisrael bring things to the Mishkan. Whatever's missing, we'll fill it. So why are they punished that a letter was taken away from their name? And Rashi says there was a certain atzlus, there was a trait here of laziness at play. They had a svara. Their svara was, let the rest of Klal Yisrael bring. Whatever's missing, we'll fill it. Says Rabbi Ruchim, it seems on the contrary, that they were in a way more generous than the rest of Klal Yisrael. Because they said, whatever's missing, we'll cover the tab. That's greater generosity. Why are they being punished? Why are they being taken to task? Why is a letter missing from their names? So Rabbi Ruchim Levavitz says that the pshat is that when it comes to midos, you cannot make any calculations to justify having flawed midos. Flawed character traits. Even though you think you have a good justification why you should wait for last to donate to the Mishkan, because this way you're letting the other people give first. But since at the core, there was here, Chazal said, a certain root of a midah of atzlus, a midah of laziness, when it comes to having flawed midos, you cannot have any justification. As sound as it may sound like, As great as it seems to be a svara, an excuse, to have a flawed midah, there's no excuse. Bad midos need to be uprooted and corrected, says Rabbi Ruchim. And that's why over here, the Nesi'im, even though they had a good calculation, why they waited for last, but the fact is that there was a certain element of atzlus involved here as well. So the Torah tells us, v'hanesi'im without a yud, to reflect that there was a chesaron over here, there was a chet. Because there's no justification, says Rabbi Ruchim, for shlechta midas, for bad midos, for flawed midos. There cannot be any excuse for it. Person has to have, to be metakin himself, shouldn't have any flawed midos in of himself. That's what Rabbi Ruchim explains in the Sifash. We once mentioned a different idea on this pasuk from Chaim Shmulevitz. And Chaim Shmulevitz says that he asks that even though the Avnei Shoyam, the Avnei Miluim, they were very, very expensive items, why they mentioned last? So he says, because they were brought last. Why? So he brings two pshatim. He brings one pshat that the Medrash says that where did the Nesi'im obtain these stones from? They obtained them through a nes, that the clouds, the Anani HaKavod, brought the stones to the tents of the Nesi'im. It's mentioned also by the Ernest and Ben Uziel. So he says that the pshat is that something that they didn't work for, they didn't work to try to obtain, they got it without any yegia, that's not as chashuv. It's not so chashuv. Something that they got without any yegia b'chlau. So therefore, it was nechstra ois mishma. Because it was something that wasn't, even though it was maybe worth a lot of money, but something that they didn't have to work for in order to collect. So, it's not so chashuv that they brought it, because they got it for free without having to work for it. And that's why a letter is missing from the name of the Nesi'im. That's one pshat that Reb Chaim Shmulevitz brings down. Just close with one last pshat that I heard from Rabbi Yudin this morning on the way in on the van. So he spoke about the Aron. Right? At the end of the parasha, Perek Lamed Zayin. So it talks about the building of the Aron, and on the Aron, we know, were the two Kruvim, were the Kapoiris with the two Kruvim. Pasuk says, in Perek Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Tes, Vayiu HaKruvim Parsei Knofayim Lamala, it says that the Kruvim, they had their wings raised up to the heavens, Sochachim B'Kanfeim Ala Kapoiris, their wings were, so to speak, covering the cover of the Aron, upneihem ish el achiv, and they faced one another. Ela kapoiris hayu pnei akruvim. They were facing the cover. They weren't turned away from each other. They were facing one another, the two kruvim. So he told me over that Rav Asher Weiss, Shlita, says that, can perhaps explain that what is the idea, the symbolism of the kruvim, is that a person has to always aspire to try to reach the heavens. He has to try to reach higher and higher levels of spirituality. That's represented by the fact that the Kruvim, their hands were raised to the heavens. But sometimes there's a danger that when a person is so focused on becoming himself more and more spiritual, he might sometimes become oblivious or not as involved in Bein Adam L'Chavero, and recognize his fellow man. So the pasuk tells us, no, that the Kruvim, even though they had their wings raised to the heavens, they were still facing one another, Upneihem Ish El Achiv, because there cannot be a separation between Bein Adam L'Chavero and Bein Adam L'Makom. The two go hand in hand. The person has to be Shalem in Bein Adam L'Makom, and Shalem Bein Adam L'Chavero. When you have Ben Adam L'Chavero is also Ben Adam L'Makom. He said, that's the idea over here of the Kruvim. And he told me there's a Medrash that says that when it came to the Chet HaEgel, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to break only half the Luchos, because there's two parts to the Luchos. We have five Dibros, which are mitzvos that are Ben Adam L'Makom, five Dibros, which are mitzvos that are Ben Adam L'Chavero. So Moshe Rabbeinu thought the Chet HaEgel that represents a rupture in the area of Bein Adam L'Maka, but not necessarily a rupture in the area of Bein Adam L'Chaveros. So only those five luchos, those five dibros, one half, one side of luchos deserves to be broken. But not, we should shatter the entire luchos. And Hashem says, no, you have to shatter the entire luchos. Because there's no separation between a Bein Adam L'Makom and Bein Adam L'Chavero. Bein Adam L'Chavero is also Bein Adam L'Makom. And that's the pshat that Yudin told me over in the name of Rav Asher Weiss, that's represented by the Kruvin on top of the Aron. Okay, everyone should have a great Shabbos. And be zochah to learn the Parsha Be'iyun. Get a lot of Yisoidus out of the Pasha. Shkach.